Well, looking back over this past week, obviously we had a bit of excitement on Friday in markets, and it was relating to, you know, whether the Fed is behind in terms of when it should be starting to cut interest rates, a fear that the US economy is falling back. But the figures don't exactly tell that story. So just to look at some of the data that came out last week, and I'll start with the non-farm payrolls that came out on Friday. And there, you know, the non-farm payrolls, yes, they didn't rise quite as much as expected. The market was looking for non-farm payrolls to be up 164,000, but they're still up 142,000. And yes, there was a downward revision to the previous month from 114,000 to 89,000. But when you put all that together, the unemployment rate didn't go up or stay where it is. It actually went down to 4.2% from 4.3%. And also looking at average hourly earnings that came out at the same time, average hourly earnings are actually a bit stronger than expected for the most recent month of August. They're up plus 0.4%. Market was looking for plus 0.3%. So the annual change in average hourly earnings actually increased to 3.8% from 3.6%. So it's one of those anomalies that people get excited about some of these numbers, and there's not quite the weakness in them that, you know, they're tending to attribute to them. And that's true of some of the other indicators that came out last week. So we had the August ISM, manufacturing and non-manufacturing purchasing managers indices. The ISM manufacturing PMI actually went up slightly from 46.8 to 47.2. Sure, it's still in contractionary territory, but that's not particularly weak. The ISM non-manufacturing PMI, that went up very slightly from 51.4 to 51.5. And that's in expansionary territory. That's actually quite a strong result. We also got July factory orders came out. Rather than falling, as the market expected, they went up by 5% month on month. And we had the initial jobless claims data for the most recent week. That came down to 227,000 from 232,000. So, you know, that's actually, you know, back into quite firm territory again. We had some good data for the Fed as far as productivity is concerned too, and unit labour costs. And yeah, this is where, you know, the Fed is in a position to cut rates when they get round to the FOMC meeting that's coming up, not this week, but the following week. We had non-farm productivity, and that improved to 2.5% year on year. And unit labour costs, the most recent quarterly unit labour costs came back to, because of that productivity, to plus 0.4% quarter on quarter from plus 0.9%. So it's not the case of really weak economic growth. It's almost you know, sort of perfect economic growth with productivity to allow inflation to come down in the US and to permit a reasonable reduction in interest rates whilst growth is still running. So the market reaction, as I say, at the tail end of last week, yeah, it was rather odd, and I think it's more to do with market positioning relating to some of the tech stocks and than genuinely a fear about softness running through the US economy. And just to add to that, Atlanta Fed, you know, they do a tracker of where Q3 GDP is running. And their tracker came out, and it was slightly further than expected. It was plus 2.1% annualized. So on their tracker, you've still got US economic growth, which is running around long-term average, if not a little bit above. So you know, I do expect to see, you know, some reaction, a more reasonable reaction to what's actually happening in the US rather than some of the fears that are there abroad at the moment. This week in the US, key numbers, really the consumer price index, and that comes out on Wednesday, and it looks as if it's going to be up around 0.2%. It was up 0.2% the month before. That'll bring the annual rate of inflation, headline inflation, down from 2.9% to 2.6%, and the core CPI also expects to be up about 0.2%. and that would probably drift the annual rate of core inflation back from 3.2% to around 3%. So these are still quite well north of where the Fed needs inflation to be, but they're certainly going in the right direction. And the economic data, particularly looking at productivity and unit labour costs in the US, suggests that the inflation may continue to drift back a little bit over the course of coming months. Moving to China and the data out of China, we had the August cakes in manufacturing and non-manufacturing PMIs. The cakes in manufacturing PMI was a little bit better than expected. It lifted from 49.8 to 50.4. That's not strong, but it's probably a little bit better than people were expecting. And the non-manufacturing PMI, it came back a bit from 52.1 to 51.6. Based purely on those two figures, things don't look too bad in China. But we know that there's still a lot of excess capacity, particularly running through the property sector. This week, we get China's CPI and producer prices coming out. The August CPI is expected to be up 0.5% month on month. That would lift annual inflation to 0.7% from 0.5%. Still very, very low. And producer prices in China still falling and expected to be down 1.4% year on year, after being down 0.8% the month before. We also get trade data out of China, and if anything, that's where China's hoping to get some growth impetus at the moment, because most other drivers of growth in China are running pretty weak at present. Last month, we had exports up by 7% year on year. They're expected to rise, but be up 6.5% year on year when we get that data coming through on Wednesday. One of the problems that China's facing is the risk of tariffs, and particularly on their most successful exports at the moment, which are electric motor vehicles. It's still problematic when they're looking at that again to be something of a growth driver when other parts of the Chinese economies are running so softly. Moving to Australia, and last week, before we got the GDP data, we had July home building approvals, and this is now volatile. It's we got a quirky plus 10.4% increase in the most recent month, most of it in multi-occupancy. That was after a 6.5% fall going back the month before. So it appears to be bouncing off the bottom a little bit. In terms of home building approvals, a bit of activity coming through. Then we had Q2 GDP came out, and it came in roughly as expected in aggregate. So we were up 0.2%. That was exactly where the market expected. Q1 GDP was revised upwards from 0.1% to 0.2. In fact, we've been at 0.2% quarter-on-quarter growth each quarter from the fourth quarter of last year. So the past three quarters have each had 0.2% quarter-on-quarter. And as a result of the 0.2% increase, the year-on-year increase in GDP came down to 1% year-on-year from 1.3%. That's about exactly where the Reserve Bank was expecting, but the contributions are a bit different, and that's what got people a little bit excited. So in terms of contributions in GDP, we had household consumption expenditure, which rather than rising, actually fell by 0.2%, and shows that the household's under a fair bit of pressure. But we had government consumption expenditure, which was about double what the Reserve Bank was expecting, and that was up 1.4% quarter-on-quarter. And in real terms, it's now running up 4.7% year-on-year in real terms. So you've got this very strong support, if you like, for demand, but coming not largely from government spending running through the data. Some of the other factors that are running through the GDP read, inflation was still high in it. When we're looking at final domestic demand and the price deflator for that, it was 0.9% and up over 4.4% year on year. So that broader inflation reading was still holding up very, very high. And also, there's no sign of much of a bounce in productivity. In terms of productivity, GDP per hour worked was up only 0.3% quarter on quarter, and is still down on an annual basis. Yet that's not what the Reserve Bank needs. They really need to see output having some chance of lifting through a lift in productivity change, and at the same time as demand remains fairly suppressed. So the bottom line from that data is it doesn't do much to change the outlook for interest rates here, because household expenditure was fairly soft in the quarter relative to what the Reserve Bank was expecting. It may take the likelihood of an interest rate hike off the table in coming meetings, but it doesn't bring us anywhere near further forward for when the Reserve Bank can start to cut interest rates. And one of the problems in the data, of course, is that we are going to see some acceleration in GDP in the next couple of quarters, simply because when we hit July the 1st, we move from very, very strong headwinds against real household income growth coming through from both the effective tax increase that went through going back last financial year when they removed the low and middle income tax rebate, to a complete reverse of that, where you've got tax cuts coming through from July the 1st. So one big headwind that was there all the way through last year from what was happening through tax turns into quite a substantial tailwind for growth from the beginning of the quarter. And the other factor is that all the way through last year, households are still adjusting to the rise in rates, those rise in rates coming through as people rolled off the various fixed rates. Well, that's moving from headwind to tailwind as well as we move into the beginning of this year. And so it's highly likely that we see rather stronger growth readings coming through as we go through the second half of this year. And that's exactly sort of the way that the Reserve Bank's looking at it. It needs to look at the figures as they come through, and at least the next couple of quarterly GDPs, and that takes you through into the early part of next year. So it's still pretty fanciful to think that over the next three meetings they'll be in a position at some stage to start to bring interest rates down. We also had, at the end of last week, we had July home loans. And the value of home loans is continuing to rise, driven by investment housing loans. In July, the value of home loans lifted by 2.9% month on month, after an upwardly revised 1% increase the month before. So we still got this strength in demand running through the home loan side, still building through pressure running through the housing market. We had the RBA governor. She spoke at the Australian Business Economists meeting at the end of last week, and it was fairly much the same story that they've got to get demand in line with output growth. Yes, there's some progress there, but there's still a way to go. It's still highly unlikely that they'll be in a position to cut interest rates anytime soon. And she recognised this is going to be painful, and that some people are going to lose their houses, as she pointed out. They're prepared to accept that because that has to happen in order to get inflation down consistently over time. So we're still getting those comments coming through from the RBA. Into this week, and not a lot of data, it's largely things like business surveys, the NAB business survey, the monthly one. Last month in July, business conditions were +6. They were reasonable. Business confidence, a little bit less than that, at +1 on that diffusion index. anything above zero means that there's more optimists than pessimists around. It's not the way you'd think about it, the way that the press is running many of the stories, but the business survey is still not too bad and probably won't change much for the most recent month. We also got September Westpac consumer sentiment coming out. In July, consumer sentiment had quite a large lift, plus 2.8%. True, it was off a very low index base, but waiting to see whether we get a further rise on that. And just a sign that things have actually shifted beyond what was happening way back in Q2, that the GDP figures related to last week, that things might be turning a little bit better as we run into Q3. Moving to Europe and the data that came through there last week, they've still got pretty soft manufacturing PMI that came out for the month of August. It was at 45.8, a little bit better than the 45.6 we had the month before. The services PMI is still pretty firm in Europe. That came in at 52.9, down from 53.3. We also had July producer prices. Interestingly, producer prices are just starting to turn more positive again. We had producer prices were expected to be up 0.3% month on month. They were up 0.8% month on month, and that was after a 0.6% increase the month before. So just some pressure appearing again through the production pipeline there in Europe. And Q3 GDP, we had a revision to that. It was a slight revision to the quarter-on-quarter from 0.3% previously reported to 0.2%. The annual rate of growth in Europe is still 0.6% year-on-year. Also, just July retail sales, a slight positive there with a 0.1% increase. This week in Europe, we get the ECB meeting. The ECB meeting, there's an expectation they might be able to get away another 25 basis point rate cut. So they managed one going back 3 months ago, and this would be the second one in the current series if they get it away. And that would bring the deposit rate, the ECB deposit rate, down from 3.75% to 3.5% if it occurs as we go through this week. And this is going to be a story over the next fortnight or so. We've got a number of central banks meeting who are likely to be in a position to start to think about bringing interest rates down. We've got the ECB this week. The following week, I think we have Bank of Canada, we have the Fed, we have the Bank of England out there as well. Not all of these possibly thinking about interest rate cuts, but they are in a different position to what we're facing here in Australia, in that their inflation is lower. It's coming down better than it is here in Australia. In many cases, they have much, much weaker labour markets than we have here in Australia as well. A notable one there is Canada, where the unemployment rate is 6.6% over there. It's a lot different from what we have here, with a very, very low unemployment rate of 4.2%. So a few of these, it's going to be a lot of movement running through financial markets relating to how these central banks, what they say and what they do over the course of the next week or two.